BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us today on Crosstalk. Ladies and gentlemen, today will be a very sobering program. What you're about to hear is being ignored by the major media across this nation. It's being ignored by the CDC, the FDA, the NIH, by pharmaceutical companies, and by members of the Biden cabinet who are supporting the shot mandate. On Tuesday, November 2nd, U.S. Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin held a panel discussion with doctors and medical researchers who have treated COVID-19 vaccine injuries and are researching the safety and efficacy of COVID-19 vaccines, patients who have experienced adverse effects due to the COVID-19 vaccine, and vaccine mandates. The senator spoke to his advocacy for early treatment, the importance of American healthcare freedom, and recognizing natural immunity, the impacts of mandates, and the lack of transparency from federal health agencies in response to his COVID-19 oversight request. You're going to be hearing from that hearing that took place on November 2nd. We begin with Senator Ron Johnson.
Telling the truth in today's cancel culture is not necessarily easy. You can pay a pretty heavy price for it, so I really appreciate everybody participating in this, either personally or via video, their willingness to tell the truth. It's a real shame that we're having to hold this roundtable. Had government officials, the heads of our healthcare agencies, had they been doing their job, had they been honest and transparent with the American public, we wouldn't be here today. But the very sad fact of the matter is they haven't. We're billing this as a discussion about the vaccine mandates, which is the current policy response to COVID that will rob us of freedom and take an enormous toll on human beings, on our economy. I think every American really needs to ask themselves the question, since the beginning of this pandemic, have the policies followed by the U.S. government, and you can ask us governments of the world, but we're going to focus on the U.S., have they worked? Have the shutdowns worked? Have the mask mandates worked? Have the vaccines and are the vaccine mandates going to work? I'm sure we all hoped and prayed they would have, but the fact is, we have close to 750,000 Americans who it's now reported died with or from COVID. 750,000. In the U.S., we rank 23rd out of more than 200 nations, and that's a bad ranking in terms of number of deaths per 100,000. We are at 220 people per 100,000 died from COVID. Sweden, remember everybody taxed Sweden? Because I think personally that they approached this rationally. They protected the vulnerable, they isolated the sick, and they let the rest of the society carry on as safely as they possibly could. We're at 220 per 100,000. Sweden is at 145 people per 100,000 dead from COVID. One of the huge blunders of our government response is we not only ignored, but higher-ups in the agencies sabotaged early treatment. To this day, the NIH guidelines for treating COVID are to basically do nothing. Now, as far as I know, in medicine, with any disease, we're always talking about early detection, allows for early treatment, produces better results. I mean, it just makes perfect sense. Why didn't we do that with COVID? The only treatment prior to hospitalizations recommended right now is monoclonal antibodies, and it's difficult to get those. So the fact of the matter is, when we turn our attention to the vaccines, I don't think there's a person here that is anti-vaccine. Obviously, those that have been injured by vaccines were very pro-vaccine. But we have to ask ourselves, did the vaccines work? I have one chart behind me, which just combines a timeline of percent of Americans being vaccinated. And you can see we've approached, I think over 60%. But at the same time, we show the average number of daily cases. You can see we had a huge surge toward the tail end of 2020. And even before the vaccines could even kick in, that surge was winding down. And I think we were at that point all hoping and praying that the vaccines would just stomp this thing out for good and we could move on with our lives. Now, had the vaccines been effective, had they done that, you'd see a tailing off of that curve basically into infinity. But that's not what we see. We see a whole new surge, a surge of a variant called Delta. Now, our government officials, I talked about them not being particularly honest, not being particularly transparent. We invited them all here. Representatives from the heads of the CDC, Secretary of Defense Austin, Secretary of Labor Walsh, Secretary of Transportation Buttigieg, FDA Acting Commissioner Woodcock, HHS Secretary Becerra, NAIAD Director Fauci, NIH Director Collins, together with the CEOs of Johnson & Johnson, Moderna, Pfizer, and BioNTech. None of them showed up. None of them showed up. President Biden, for his part, in terms of honesty, July 21st, just a couple months ago, said, if you're vaccinated, you're not going to be hospitalized. You're not going to be in an ICU unit. You're not going to die. You're not going to get COVID if you have these vaccinations. He said, this is a pandemic on the unvaccinated. How I wish he was right when he said these vaccines were going to be that effective. But the fact is, they haven't been. If you take a look at what's happened in the UK over the last 7.5 months, and again, I wish we had data in the US so we could point to that data, but we don't. If they're collecting it, they're not sharing with the American public. In the UK over the last 7.5 months, 80% of their cases have been Delta variant. Of the people who have died from COVID in the UK with the Delta variant over the last 7.5 months, 63% have been fully vaccinated. Over the last 4 weeks in the UK, 78% of those that have died with the Delta variant from COVID, 78% have been fully vaccinated. I hate to steal the thunder from one of our participants here, but in a slide, they've got a very dramatic decision tree when it comes to vaccine mandates. The first decision square says, are COVID-19 vaccines effective? It has three lines, yes or no. If the vaccines are effective, then the next decision box says, then mandates are pointless. Right? I mean, if the vaccines are effective, there's no need for mandates. If you want to get the vaccine, you've got it, you're protected, and you don't care whether somebody else gets vaccinated. The other decision line, are the vaccines effective? If it's no, then it also points to the exact same box. Then the mandates are pointless. There are three realities that our federal health agencies, President Biden, and his administration are ignoring when it comes to the mandates. And again, you have to understand the destructiveness of these mandates in our healthcare system. I've been talking to the doctors and nurses, the heroes of COVID, the people that had the courage and compassion to treat COVID patients. So many of them caught COVID. Some died, most survived. Now they're treating the vaccine injured. They will not get vaccinated. We will lose decades worth of experience in our healthcare system that is already experiencing significant shortages of workers. What are we doing? How insane is this? But one of the things that our policymakers are ignoring is natural immunity. Why would we force a vaccine that's not as effective as we all hope? Why would we force that on people who are naturally immune, where the science tells us those with natural immunity probably have better and more long-lasting immunity than those fully vaxxed? The other reality that our policymakers are denying is that the vaccines prevent infection, prevent transmission. They're not. It's obvious they're not. So again, if you're vaccinated and you can still get infected and still transmit, what is the rationale for the mandates. There is no rationale. Like that decision box said, they are pointless. At the same time, being utterly destructive. And then, of course, what we're really going to be discussing today, the third reality that our policymakers are denying is the vaccine injuries. I was introduced to Breanne Dressen in June of this year when I held an event in Milwaukee, just allowing and Maddie and Stephanie. When I just held an event in Milwaukee to allow a couple, I think five vaccine-injured individuals just to tell their story. That's it, just to tell the story. But back then, their main message was, we just want to be seen, we want to be heard, we want to be believed. Why? Because unless the medical establishment, their doctors, our health agencies are willing to acknowledge just the possibility of vaccine injuries, if you're not willing to acknowledge the root cause of a condition, of an injury, of a malady, of an illness, how can you hope to cure that illness? How can you help these individuals who participate in some of the trials to benefit humanity? How can you help them fully recover if you're not willing to admit that vaccine injuries are real? The final slide I want to put up here is a chart that is laying out the reality of vaccine injuries. Now, this is from the government, the CDC, FDA's own safety early warning surveillance system, one that they touted in October. Man, they were gonna pay attention to this. If they see a vaccine injury that even results in a couple of lost days' work, they're gonna have somebody from the CDC on the phone following up that vaccine injured person. You're gonna hear from the vaccine injured on this panel today that that is so far from the truth, so far from the reality. But if you just compare the adverse events for the standard flu vaccine versus COVID, you can see that there's something happening here, something that needs to be acknowledged, something that the Walensky's and the Fauci's and the Woodcocks, the President Biden ought to be concerned about. And so if you look over the last 25 and three-quarters years of the flu vaccine, on average, there have been 7,596 adverse events per year, per year. In 10 months with the COVID vaccine, we're up to 837,595. This is a chart from last week. These are update numbers. On average, the number of deaths reported on VAERS for the flu vaccine is 78 per year, 78. The updated figures today are 17,619. That is 225 times the number of deaths in just a 10-month period versus an annual figure for the flu vaccine. These vaccine injuries are real. And as the individual Green Bay Packers star Ken Ruckers, who introduced me to Bree and her group, as he stated in that meeting in June, vaccine injuries are rare and mild until one happens to you or your loved one.
They're mild until they happen to you or your loved one. We're going to take a break here. And further on the program, we're going to be hearing the testimonies of five individuals who spoke up at this meeting, all suffering injury since they received the shot. More to come. Stay tuned. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how many stars are there?
Chris, this is the question for which there is no answer. We go out on a clear night and look up, and we only see about 3,000 or so stars with the naked eye, but with telescopes or binoculars, we can see many more. Scientists estimate that our Milky Way galaxy contains over 200 billion stars, and now we can see billions and billions of galaxies, and we haven't even seen the edge of the universe. With every new telescope, we're seeing whole new regions of space full of galaxies. Chris, God told Abraham that the stars in the sky were in essence innumerable, and how right he was. As always, the scientific information that we gather supports the clear teaching of the Word of God, even those truths that are found when we go back to Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. On Tuesday, November 2nd, Senator Ron Johnson held a panel discussion with doctors and medical researchers and those treated for the COVID-19 vaccine injuries. He held a hearing that took place on November 2nd, and we're going to be hearing from individuals now, some testimonies of those that have been injured by the shot, and they're going to share with you firsthand. Ernest Ramirez is first.
I'm from Edinburgh, Texas. Excuse me. I was a father of a 16-year-old son, a single parent. I raised my boy since he was a baby. He meant the world to me. I got the vaccine to protect my son. And after in March, April, they're announcing how it was safe for teenagers. Me and my son have never been apart. We're always together. He was my best friend. I always told him it was me and you against the world. He was a good, at the age of seven, he wanted to play baseball. So I ended up coaching Little League Baseball for 7 years. Then he was telling me he wanted to join the Air Force. So I said, good, that's good. I'll back you up on anything you want to do. He joined ROTC in high school. He was always full of smiles. Anybody that knew my son would see he was happy. I wasn't rich, but I gave him everything he wanted. We didn't lack for anything. We used to go fishing, camping, do everything. We got the Pfizer vaccine because I thought it was to protect him. I thought it was the right thing to do. It was like playing Russian roulette. My government lied to me. They said it was safe. Now I go home to an empty house where I used to get, wake them up, I'd give them a hug and a kiss, tell them I'm going to school, don't miss school. I'd get home from work, he'd come running out. He knew when I'd get home, he'd come running out, give me a hug. I'd give him a kiss, a hug. What do you want to go eat today? Like I said, he was my baby boy. Everybody knew. We're always together. Like I said, next week is his birthday. You know where I'm going to celebrate his birthday at? While everybody, once we leave here, they're going to forget about what we're doing, or what they talk about, what we said here. They're going to be enjoying time with their family and kids. Thanksgiving, I'm going to spend at the cemetery. Christmas, at that cemetery. They need to quit pushing this on their children. I lost mine. Y'all need to protect yours. They're trying to target the 5 to 12-year-olds. We're going to have more deaths in our hands than they plan. And they say it's worth the risk. It wasn't worth the risk to me. My son was the world. He meant the world to me. They could never give him back to me. That's all I want is my son back. So don't make the mistake I did. I did it because I thought it was the correct thing to do. It wasn't. It was not. But I don't trust my government anymore. I'm here because I'm Junior's voice. I'm doing this in my son's honor. If I can protect one or two children, that means the world to me.
A grieving father, Ernest Ramirez. Also speaking was Kyle Warner.
Before I started, my speech, I just want to say thank you to Dr. Fauci, to the FDA heads, CDC, NIH, everyone for not showing up to this meeting and not listening to us. I really appreciate it. I'm glad that you have our interests at heart. This message is kind of for you. It's a message on how what's happening has broke my heart literally and figuratively with our country. My name is Kyle Warner. I'm a 29-year-old professional mountain bike racer and 3-time national champion. For most of my life, I have focused on being as healthy and positive as possible and inspiring other people to do the same. Growing up without much money and with a household that was broken, family battling drug abuse, prescription drug abuse, and addiction, I never really felt like I belonged to much of anything. However, I spent each morning before school with my hand over my heart, pledging allegiance to the flag. Thousands of times I spoke these words, "One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all." Being a part of this country inspired me to chase my dreams and granted me the freedom to do so. This spring, when the current administration was urging young, healthy Americans to get vaccinated to help end this war on the pandemic, I stepped up. I wanted to serve the greater good. I wanted to help fight this war, not because I was afraid of COVID, but because my country asked me to. You told me, "This vaccine is safe and effective, period." And I believed you. This time, I ended up with my hand on my heart for a different reason. In June, I joined the rapidly growing number of young men who developed pericarditis post-mRNA vaccine. That is the inflammation of the liner surrounding the heart. That condition, along with POTS and reactive arthritis, have completely brought an end to life as I knew it. I have been bedridden, unable to work, and unable to exercise for months. I fear that my career has officially been ended. Listening to these stories today and looking at the VAERS database, it is easy to see that we have a serious problem arising. But you guys already know this. The real question is whether or not you will stand up to your favorite pharmaceutical lobbyist in defense of the American people you are supposed to serve. We were told we were fighting a war against the pandemic, and the question in the air is, will you leave your troops behind yet again? I'm not asking you to end the vaccine program by any means. All I'm asking is for some transparency and acknowledgement of what is happening so that we as a country can have an honest discussion of the risks. I believe where there is risk, there must be choice. And without acknowledging that people are being seriously injured and dying, we are doing a great disservice to the American people. It is estimated that Moderna and Pfizer will make around $60 billion in revenue this year from COVID-19 vaccines. And with the rollout of boosters and mandates, it seems like much of that is destined to be recurring revenue. We need to set up a fund with a portion of vaccine proceeds to help heal and study injured Americans and compensate the families who have lost loved ones due to complications of the vaccine. This is the first ever mass administration of mRNA vaccines, and the drug companies need to compensate us if they are going to be testing on us. Do you know why we stopped saying the Pledge of Allegiance in school? It's because the new one, "One nation, under siege, completely divisible, with liberty and justice for all corporations," doesn't sound quite as good. I'm asking you, human to human, please do the right thing and help us.
That was Kyle Warner speaking at this event last November 2nd. Also speaking, Doug Cameron, also vaccine injured.
Doug Cameron, as a farm operations manager from Idaho, permanently paralyzed following vaccination. Doug?
My name is Douglas Cameron. Prior to April 5th, 2021, I was very healthy, physically active, 64-year-old, when I received the Johnson & Johnson COVID vaccine at my workplace. I was encouraged by my employer to get the vaccine. The day after the vaccine, on April 6th, I started experiencing side effects I believe were related to the shot. I lost bladder control, suffered ED, my legs felt odd, I had a cinching sensation in my hips. Over the next few days, my symptoms worsened and I became alarmed, so I went to the ER. Explained that I'd gotten the vaccine and what was happening. I was tested for COVID and tested positive. Blood work and an MRI were done, and I was sent home. 3 days after that, I told my wife I felt like I drank poison. My whole body felt different. I went to bed at 10 o'clock at night and woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning paralyzed from the diaphragm down. I was transported to the hospital and admitted to the COVID-19 unit. Took several days to figure out what was happening. The doctors were uncertain how to treat me. They'd never treated anybody with these problems before, and they could not decide on a diagnosis. Eventually, they found out I had a blood clot in my leg. My entire spinal cord had swollen and hemorrhaged. I aspirated on water, placed on a ventilator. I was in ICU for 2 weeks. I was worried, concerned. My wife panicked about my condition. My life as I knew it was gone. All totaled, I spent 105 days in St. Luke's Regional Hospital, St. Alphonsus Rehab Center in Boise, Idaho, and the University of Utah's Craig Nielsen's Rehab Hospital. I have had multiple MRIs, CAT scans, EKGs, X-rays, spinal angiograms, spinal taps, autoimmune blood tests, muscle biopsies. Everything has come back negative in an attempt trying to pin my paralysis on my body and not the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Today, I am an unemployed paraplegic who's learning an entire new lifestyle. And the only thing I did between full health and my current condition is take a shot. I am real. My symptoms are real. And my life forever has changed. And that is real. This has affected these stories you're listening to has affected husbands, wives, children, brothers, sisters, friends. Please pay attention. Thank you.
You're listening to testimony that was given on Tuesday, November 2nd, before Senator Ron Johnson's committee, as he was dealing with this issue of mandates. Now, we do know that over this most recent weekend that the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit has issued an order temporarily staying OSHA's standards that directed certain private employers with 100 or more employees to implement the vaccinations, the shots here for COVID-19. A quick break here. You're going to be hearing from another individual as well as a doctor that also suffered injury after receiving the shot. Stay with us. We'll be back in a minute here on Crosstalk.
VCY America is making available Ray Comfort's DVD that is causing evolutionists and atheists around the world to become unglued. Evolution versus God is a fast-moving 35-minute DVD in which Ray Comfort confronts evolutionists with a series of questions that leave them stumped and speechless about a belief system that lacks credible answers to the origins of the earth and mankind. You can obtain one DVD of Evolution versus God for a donation of $5, 5 copies for a donation of $18, or 10 copies for a donation of $25 by calling 1-800-729-9829. Evolution versus God is shaking the foundation of evolutionary faith. That's one copy for a donation of $5, 5 copies for a donation of $18, or 10 copies for a donation of $25. Simply call VCY America at 1-800-729-9829 or on the web at vcyamerica.org.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Again, friends, we're presenting this information today. Senator Johnson held the hearing, but the national media was not reporting on this, nor was the CDC. They were invited. The FDA, they were invited. The NIH, they were invited. Pharmaceutical companies were invited. They have ignored this issue as well. So we're bringing it directly to your attention. Right now, we're going to be hearing from another individual, Susanna Newell, who also spoke.
So Suzanne Newell is a triathlete from St. Paul, Minnesota, diagnosed with an autoimmune disease and reliant on a walker or a cane to walk following vaccination. Suzanne?
Thank you. My name is Susanna Newell. I live in St. Paul with my husband and two teenage children. On April 13th, I very willingly followed the recommendation of the CDC and received my second Pfizer shot. At that point, my whole life changed. I'm currently on disability, but I work in corporate social responsibility. I was previously an active long-distance biker and triathlete. I had no known underlying health conditions, and I live a very, very healthy lifestyle. I was used to a high-energy, highly motivated lifestyle. I love keeping my body and my mind strong and disciplined. Since I became injured, I have very little motivation or energy, and I'm in a constant state of extreme fatigue. I struggled to retrieve words. I was valedictorian in my high school. And to remember things, I can't concentrate or focus, and my brain is in constant fog. And I'm aimlessly wandering through my brain, and it's torture. I developed a rash on my forehead. I constantly have loud ringing in my ears. My once strong body aches constantly. I have no relief for the pain in my joints, except for acupuncture. It's like I aged 40 years overnight. I'm intermittently dizzy, my vision is blurry, my right pupil is not dilating properly, my right leg has extreme burning pain, and I also get muscle spasms and twitches, and I have internal vibrations. I am now a frequent flyer at the doctor with very few answers and many, many painful tests. I see a neurologist, rheumatologist, cardiologist, gynecologist, neuro-ophthalmologist, and physical therapist, among others. Most doctors are overworked, and they're unaware that this condition is even possible. So each visit, I have to fight to be believed and not written off as anxious. After two nights in the hospital at the Mayo Clinic, and several follow-up appointments, my Mayo Clinic rheumatologist told me there is no plan B, so I guess this is arrivederci. For those of you that don't know, that's Italian for saying goodbye. I'm Italian. I would think they would be most interested in my case. It's been more than 6 months, and most symptoms are worse, not better. I've been diagnosed with small fiber neuropathy and an autoimmune disease. But getting to these diagnoses was a struggle. Again, as this is a relatively new and unheard of in the medical community, I have a strong support network and a savings account that I can lean on. However, I'm concerned about those who don't. This is not a pandemic of the unvaccinated. This is a pandemic of trauma. We're unnecessarily traumatized due to our cases being overlooked, misdiagnosed, and hidden. We aren't being believed, and our faith in media and the government is faltering. We are now being mandated to do something to our bodies that we know can cause problems. We think at a minimum, the public has the right to know this is a possibility before they make their choice to be vaccinated. Mandates will not stop COVID. It will just continue the divide and cause feelings of anxiety. People will naturally fight, flight, or freeze when they feel threatened. I wasn't afraid of the shot when I received it. I was excited to do my part for my country, But where is my country for me now, now that I'm injured? I would recommend that instead of what is currently being done, that there's a safety net for the vaccine injured. It needs to be established immediately. We also need to protect our children with transparency of the true medical impacts of the vaccine. There needs to be accountability as well for those who stand to profit from keeping these injuries hidden like Big Pharma. Thank you very much for supporting the vaccine injured and allowing us this platform to talk to those who are willing to listen. I just hope the rest of the world opens their ears soon.
And now coming from a medical doctor as well.
My name is Joel Walskog. Thank you for the opportunity to speak today. I'm an orthopedic surgeon from Mequon, Wisconsin. After high school, I spent almost 14 years in education and training. I've developed a large orthopedic practice focusing primarily on joint replacement. I average over 5,000 patient visits per year and perform well over 800 surgical procedures per year. While my personal core identity focuses on my family, I love my job as an orthopedic surgeon. My patients and co-workers will undoubtedly say that I have a passion for my job. On December 30th of 2020, I received the first Moderna COVID vaccine without incident initially. Approximately 1 week later, I recognized that my feet were numb, a sensation of pins and needles. I also began having powerful electrical shock sensations down my entire spine, radiating to my feet. Within days, I obtained an MRI of my cervical spine. It revealed no acute changes to account for my numbness. Move forward 3 or 4 days, I was sitting in a clinic room at work talking with a patient. I attempted just simply to stand from a sitting position. I couldn't stand. I pushed myself up with my arms, then quickly fell backwards. Later that day, I had MRIs of my thoracic and lumbar spine. I soon saw a neurologist, actually 2 to 3 days later, who diagnosed me with transverse myelitis, a rare condition that involves a demyelinated lesion of my thoracic spinal cord. While my neurologist recommended I take 2 or 3 months off of work, I agreed to take 2 weeks. After I returned, I operated on 2 consecutive days, although an intended shortened schedule. After the second day, I felt horrible. I was numb from my umbilicus to my feet. I could barely walk. And I have been off work since. I'm just not safe to work as an orthopedic surgeon. After my diagnosis, I brought up the question of whether my condition could be related to the Moderna COVID vaccine that I received. I asked my employer to report it to VAERS. I was aware that the UK AstraZeneca COVID vaccine trial was delayed twice because of 3 cases of transverse myelitis. Assuming the FDA and the CDC would be alarmed at my diagnosis, I expected to be contacted soon after my VAERS submission. No phone call, no contact. In fact, weeks passed. I then contacted the CDC myself. They acknowledged my VAERS submission, but stated my reaction was categorized as not serious, as I had not been hospitalized and I hadn't died. I have never heard from the CDC again. No contact with the NIH, no contact from the FDA. I notified Moderna directly numerous times and asked that I be contacted. No one from Moderna ever contacted me. One word describes how I felt in the first few months after my diagnosis: abandoned. My life has dramatically changed after this adverse reaction. My career of 19 years, that I took almost 14 years to train for is likely over. While my electrical sensations have decreased, my numbness, weakness, and poor balance are unchanged as compared to January of 2021. I compare myself now to a car. I begin each day with a quarter tank of gas. When my fuel tank is empty, I'm done for the day. If I overdo it, like today, I plan on spending the next day or two on the couch. Let me be clear. I am pro-vaccine. I got one Moderna COVID vaccine. Let me be clear. I had a real adverse event. I urge the CDC, the FDA, the NIH, and all other involved governmental agencies to listen to the injured. Their adverse events are real. I urge everyone to become open and transparent with COVID vaccine data. The VAERS system is grossly inadequate. I am bewildered how we as a country seem to be dependent on foreign data. I urge additional monies be allocated to studying the etiologies and treatment of these adverse events. I also urge Congress to enact legislation to allow for financial remedy under the Vaccine Injury Compensation Program for those injured by the COVID-19 vaccinations.
I want you, also to hear Dr. Teresa Long, who's treating vaccine-injured pilots. Learn what happened to her.
I saw five patients in clinic, two of which presented with chest pain days to weeks after vaccination and were subsequently diagnosed with pericarditis and worked up to rule out myocarditis. The third pilot had been vaccinated and felt like he was drunk, chronically fatigued within 24 hours after vaccination. The pilot told me he didn't know what to do, so he drank a lot of coffee to try and, quote, wake himself up and continued to fly until he realized it wasn't going away. After I reported to my command my concerns that in one morning I had to ground 3 out of 3 pilots due to vaccine injuries, the next day my patients were canceled, my charts were pulled for review, and I was told that I would not be seeing acute patients anymore, just healthy pilots there for their flight physical. There's a concept of the 10th man, the loyal dissenter. That's the person that you select to be the dissenting opinion to prevent groupthink. Patients are entitled to a second opinion on their medical care. What happens when bureaucrats mandate that there is no dissenting opinion?
Friends, you're listening to a special Crosstalk today. We will not be opening phone lines because I want you to hear one further testimony following the next break. This is from a hearing that happened on November 2nd, called by U.S. Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, as he held this panel discussion with doctors and medical researchers and those who've been injured after receiving the shot. It's information that's real. It is taking place, and yet media does not want to tell you the story. After the break, you're going to be hearing from an attorney who is actually representing vaccine-injured clients. Stay with us. You're listening to Crosstalk. For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Do you know what the real rate of inflation is? Well, the government says it's 4.5%. That's a lie. The real rate of inflation, provable, documented, with traditional accounting that the government used to use from the 1980s, puts inflation at 11%. Do you know that this inflation is created because our federal government is breaking the law and the U.S. Constitution and printing money through the Federal Reserve, which was created to try to stop bank failures and financial crisis, but it's only created financial crisis. And inflation is a hidden tax. Now the government is proposing taxing you on perceived increase in value of your house or your stocks. But what they're not taking into account is the reason your stock and house is going up is because of the hidden tax of inflation that's debasing your dollars and thus taking more dollars to buy that house or stock. The government, again, is cheating and stealing from you. You see the narrative that is coming from the major media across this country, the narrative that's coming from the CDC, the NIH, the FDA is far different than the testimony that you are hearing. There are several that spoke. Time just does not allow me to air here on Crosstalk, but wanted to give you a glimpse of this hearing that took place on November the 2nd. In conclusion, we're going to be hearing from Aaron Seary, who is an attorney who represents vaccine-injured clients. He had some pretty remarkable testimony at this hearing as well.
While we've been representing people for vaccine injury for quite a while, it wasn't until the COVID-19 vaccine that our phones, emails, form submissions have reached an avalanche of submissions. If we could actually sue the pharmaceutical companies for all those injuries, it would actually be humanly impossible for my firm, or I think the collective efforts of all attorneys around the country that handle vaccine injury cases, which are about 100 attorneys right now, to handle all of those matters. As things stand right now, you can't sue Pfizer, J&J, or Moderna for any of the injuries. You can't bring a claim in the vaccine injury compensation program either. You're relegated to a program called CICP, which has a standard of proof that makes it almost impossible to obtain compensation. And even if you do prevail, the amount of compensation is de minimis for the most part. Among the folks that have contacted our firm are many physicians from across the country who themselves have suffered vaccine injuries. I've spoken to many of them, and while their stories vary, their injuries vary, there are three common themes that they all convey. The first one is that, and we heard a lot of you express the same here today, is that after they suffered an injury, they went to the very medical establishment that they work in to go and get treatment. And even though they themselves were physicians, the initial reaction they often got was one of, "We don't believe you." Often they were told it was psychological, referred to counseling, instead of treating the injuries that were being presented. And these are physicians. A lot of times they had to go and go to physicians that they went to medical school with or who they had worked with, those colleagues who would believe them. The other common theme is that they, for the most part, report that they submitted a VAERS report, that they had to do it, and often their physicians didn't, and that after submitting the VAERS reports, like many of you, they expected a phone call that never came. And a lot of them explain how they then would take the initiative to directly contact the CDC or the FDA or public health authorities themselves. And again, it was either silence or after an exchange of some nature, the end result was typically the same. Don't worry. Theirs is not seeing this safety problem, so it's not an issue. Nothing to see here. Your issue is not an issue because it's not an issue in theirs. One of the things that I often ask physicians who contact the firm is, will you make public the failing of our public health agencies? And that often has the same reaction as well. And that is one of immense fear. The fear of retaliation from public health officials and the medical establishment if they come forward with even their own story of their own injury is palpable. No physician agreed to go forward until, as you pointed out, Senator, Dr. Patricia Lee, who herself was not injured by a vaccine, but as a matter of conscience, she simply could no longer sit idly by after seeing a series of extraordinarily serious injuries after COVID vaccinations. She did what every other physician should do.
She reported those series of cases to VAERS. She was expecting that somebody would contact her. And nobody did. And not just any cases. A young woman who's pregnant became paraplegic, lived just long enough to have her baby and die a month later. Two other young women who lost most of their small intestines. Incredibly devastating injuries. She waited for the call that never came. And when it didn't come, she did what many of you did. She wrote a letter directly to the CDC and the FDA. This letter right here. She sent it on September 28, 2021. It's publicly available. You can read what she sent them. She waited 1 day, 2 days, 7 days. No response. On the 8th day, my firm sent a letter asking the FDA and CDC, are you really going to ignore this mainstream pediatrician trained at Harvard and Georgetown medical centers who is telling you about serious injuries from this product? They did respond to her eventually, and they even actually had a meeting with her. And what did they tell her? Nothing to see. There's no safety signal in VAERS, so everything is fine. The most incredible part of that meeting is after Dr. Patricia Lee relayed the stories in detail that would bring tears to most folks' eyes. She asked Dr. Marks and the other five representatives from the FDA and CDC, do you have any questions? Exactly. That's exactly what she got, the silence that you hear. Until eventually, Dr. Marks did begin to speak and explain to her, VAERS is a wonderful system and we're not seeing safety signals. Everything's fine.
Well, testimony went on, but that's all the time we have here on Crosstalk. And even on this Monday, the headline came forth from the Western Journal about anxious parents are demanding answers after Texas nurses accidentally gave their little boys the wrong COVID vaccine, giving the adult dose rather than the child's dose. Well, ladies and gentlemen, these are issues that are going on. Real people with real stories that are being ignored, and we wanted you to hear. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.